I was looking for a book to read that I couldn't find. So when I was in college, my professors were really good about talking to me about always incorporating my faith into my work and all of these references and things. And I started to pick up on all of these pottery references in the Bible. And I thought there's got to be a devotion book about that. And there wasn't a book that I couldn't find what I was looking for. And so at that point, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to start taking notes and to really start figuring out all of these pottery references and what do they mean.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. How's it going, my friends? I'm excited because yours truly has finally added another offering to the wonderful mission of helping you to advance further in life, known as the Going North Advancement Compass. This new book is a success journal. It is the fulfillment field guide for your success. So if you want a method to crack the code on how to be a good day architect, then pick up this wonderful book right here on Amazon.com. And we're going to put a link to that in the wonderful show notes. That way you can check it out like a library book, my friends. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth today and going, known as podnatch.com, where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts. And if they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers indeed, because she hails one of the best states in the US of A, known as North Cackalacky, baby, North Carolina. That's right indeed. So take a shirt off and spin it like a helicopter, if you know that song from 2003, y'all. Because today's wonderful guest, she's a fellow child of the king as well. As a first for this show, because we've had a ceramic hobbyist on the show, but we never had an award-winning ceramic artist. So this is a first for the show. So it's going to be interesting indeed. So pull out your magnifying glasses, y'all. Your curiosity is going to be piqued with a capital P, y'all. So let's give it up for Miss Eminem herself, the marvelous and magnificent, the one and only Morgan McCarver. How you doing today, Morgan?
Hey, thanks. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing fabulous. That's right indeed. That's right, Dave. Well, my goodness, my goodness. As you know, with all introductions not allowed to be at least a good 365 days long, or probably forgot about 364 years worth of content. You're not even close to 34. So by filling in any cavities, I may have missed about you in the intro, Morgan.
I don't think so. You pretty much covered it pretty well. Like you said, I'm in North Carolina. I'm in Asheville. That's where my art studio, I rent some studio space there. But I'm originally from South Carolina. So at this point, I just say I'm a Carolina girl. You know, I've been in both Carolinas now. And I like it pretty well.
Sweet. That I means she loves it with the extra water. Ha. That's right. Doesn't all have to be low country. That's right indeed. So if I'm not mistaken, you were born and raised in a church basically too.
I was yep, I'm from upstate South Carolina, and I was raised in a Baptist church. I gave my heart to Jesus at about 7 years old, and I was baptized on my grandfather's birthday, which is really special to me. He's since passed, but my family was Christian and they were there celebrating around me. So that was really great and really special. But my faith didn't really become my own, you know, until later on. I had scoliosis spinal fusion surgery when I was 14. And that's really when my prayer life kind of became real to me. And I really had that personal relationship with God. And then from there, my faith, God's just blessed me. My faith has just continued to grow. I chose a Christian college. I went to Anderson University in Anderson, South Carolina, and got a degree in ceramics. And then I moved to Asheville, and I really had to rely on God for that move because I moved here without knowing anyone but my boss, who was a potter I was going to work for as a studio assistant. And so I had met her once or twice in person and felt like the Lord was telling me to make the move. So moved to a state where I didn't really know anyone in the area. I didn't have any friends. I didn't know the safe part of town or the grocery store to go to or where to live, anything like that. And that was, I knew it was a sign from God. I was supposed to move here, but it required me to completely rely on Him for everything. And it was a great time in my life, even though looking back on it, I was lonely. I was going through all these different changes, trying to figure out what to do. But just relying on God made my faith so much stronger and has allowed me to rely on Him continuously through that.
Oh, well, looks like somebody's been digging in my head, because that's gonna be one of my questions. Like, when the did your faith become real for you? Because yeah, that's the one of the drawbacks. Even well, then again, it's probably drawbacks with anything, but just being raised in a church, it's like, yep, if you're in that environment, then you have to go out into the world and then realize, like, okay, is this for real? Like, because the real tests are gonna show up: flat tires, potholes, a whole giant chasm full of bunnies with knives and random cactuses with random, I don't know, like we'll go with Qurans for no reason. That's right, indeed. I don't
Yeah,
know why a cactus is reading
I
the Quran, but hey, but we're going.
mean, the world is crazy. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. God forbid you see a giant Buddha statue and then it's holding a bunny rabbit in its hand. Oh man, that's what I'm talking about indeed. And my goodness, so having that, and wow, I didn't even know it was at the age of 14. My God, and that was still during the whole growing phase. I know that probably hurt like head having the darn scoliosis then going through the surgery too.
It did. It actually, before my scoliosis surgery, I wasn't really in all of that much pain. And I know different people have different experiences. And for those who don't know what scoliosis is, basically, as I was growing and hitting that kind of final growth spurt, my spine wasn't growing straight up as it's supposed to. It was growing from side to side. And so I had three different curves in my back that were varying by degrees, and they were increasingly getting more and more curved the longer it went untreated and the more I grew. And I wore back bracing for about 3 years to try to correct my curve or at least hold the curvature in place. But that didn't seem to be doing what it was supposed to be doing. And so the doctors at that point decided that I really did need to have surgery. And you're right, I was young, I was 14. That's, of course, when teenage girls are thinking about body image and trying to fit in and all these good things anyway. And I have a major spinal fusion surgery thrown on top of that, involving two titanium rods and about 18 screws in my spine, and a year-long recovery process, and all of these different things. So, yes, that's really when I had to make the decision for myself that if I was trusting God, then I needed to trust that it was His will for me to have that surgery. And that was a really hard thing for me to wrap my head around, but it's the truth. And now looking back on that 12 plus years later, I know it was the right thing, and I know it was God's will for everything to happen the way it did.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. I guess thy rod and thy staff, they cover me out of context. That's right indeed. It's a titanium rod. That's right.
I've never had that compared to that Bible verse, but you're not wrong. Yep.
That's right indeed. A hold of revelation. Now I probably never look at that scripture the same. Right. David's rod was titanium. It's in my back, I know. Don't you mean like wood? No, it's titanium. It's God. He's advanced. He's the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He knows what's gonna happen in the future. He's from the future. It was
Yep.
titanium, I tell you.
Yeah, I was afraid I was going to set off metal detectors, like going through the airport and whatnot, but I haven't, so that's a plus, but you never know.
Oh wow. Okay. That's good. All right. So they know what the heck they're doing. That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness. So I guess with that basically led you to the wonderful world of pottery and the good pottery, not the green pottery. If you know what I mean.
It did. Yep, it did. In a roundabout way, you wouldn't think major back s surgery would lead to ceramics, but it really did. I was competitively dancing at the time. That was really my passion. And I couldn't do that, obviously, in the year-long recovery process because I wasn't supposed to bend or twist or pick anything up that was over 6 pounds, or jump or run or do anything that could jar the hardware while it was kind of fusing for that year. So during that time, I really needed a creative outlet that I no longer had with dance. And my mom signed me up for just a simple pottery class, just a kids' art camp. And that something just clicked. I just fell in love with the clay process and working with my hands and getting that flexibility out of the clay that I couldn't get out of my physical body during that time of recovery. And I just kept taking more and more classes. My school didn't offer it, but there's a cultural center in the area. And I just kept signing up. And it got to the point where they didn't have really any classes specifically for teenagers. And so I signed up for evening classes that were basically retirees who were 30 plus years older than me. And it was such a unexpected community, but I loved it so much, just going in there once a week and throwing pots and them helping me and kind of mentoring me along the way. And then I ended up getting my degree for it, and now I have a little studio space in Asheville.
That's what I'm talking about. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's right indeed. So did you walk in the room and then folks give you strange looks and be like, we have the chosen one. It's a prodigy.
No, more the opposite. Well, not the opposite. They weren't mean, but I loved clay and I loved ceramics, but throwing on the pottery wheel that you see on all of these medication commercials for some reason, but that seems to be where they are. If you're gonna see pottery in the media, it's going to be some kind of medication commercial. But that was not me. That was very hard for me to learn how to center. And so I think they were probably shocked when I said, "Oh, I'm actually going to school for this. I'm going to get a degree in this." They were probably like, "Really?" But I just I was just so drawn to it in so many other ways than the wheel. There's a technique called hand building, which is basically just what it sounds like, where I'm working with my hands and the clay and tools that don't involve using the pottery wheel. And that's really where my technique kind of began to shine. And then, of course, my professors enhanced that and helped me train in different ways and learn how to do mold making. And so I make a lot of plaster molds now in my work. And without getting too crazy technical, I do a lot of slip casting, which basically involves me making a prototype and making a plaster mold and then casting different forms in that mold. So I still do use the wheel. I got over that initial struggle with learning how to center. I throw on the wheel a good bit in my work, but my true passion is mold making.
So breaking the molds, huh?
Yeah, sometimes I do break them. Not on purpose, but it happens.
Of curiosity, your last name, was that is that your branding stage name or is that legit your family last name?
That
Because it's
is
too
true.
perfect.
I know it is. No, that's truly my family last name, McCarver. Yep. And there aren't too many McCarvers in the world. Every once in a while, I'm sure everyone's like Googled themselves. And I think there is another Morgan McCarver, maybe in Texas, if you're listening. Hey, I'd love to meet you. But yeah, not too many McCarvers in the world, but it does fit for my pottery related things.
And are you the only potter in the house, or should I say in the family?
No, I'm the only potter in the family. My parents were creative in different ways. My mom wrote for a local newspaper. She was like a journalist in that way. She had a column. And my dad was a photojournalist, so he did a lot of photography things. So thankfully, they understand the creative process and the drive for creativity, and they understand me spending long hours in the studio or needing to take time to get things done. And clay is very finicky. It doesn't dry when you think it's going to dry, or it dries too quickly and you have to forget the plans for the day and finish up before the clay dries too much. And so they, even though they aren't potters themselves, thankfully they understand the creative process enough to encourage me in that way and give me that time. And I have gotten them both on the pottery wheel before. I think my dad really likes it, so we'll see if he keeps saying I need to get a new wheel and give him my old wheel. So maybe one day. But yeah, it'd be cool to have another potter. I do have a cousin who is super into fashion, and she's going to start college soon, so I'm super excited to see all the stuff she does.
Woohoo! That's right indeed. Dress up the pots. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, a collaboration one day, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, that's right indeed. Make a giant human-sized pot, and then when your cousin gets out of fashion school and starts designing clothes, you can start the depotted fashion show where they jump out the pot with a new outfit, and they'll be like, "I'm
Hey.
depotted."
Don't worry, we'll give you the credit. We'll tell them that was your idea.
Sweet. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. That's
Mm-hmm.
right, indeed. It'll get rave reviews because it'll be something that's never been done or seen before. Yeah.
That's true.
That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So, my goodness, my goodness. So, I guess since it all makes sense now with you now being a writer, mommy was being a journalist back when journalism was still journalism, not all this crazy sensationalism. My goodness, what led you to finally join the business of immortality with your first book on the way at the time of this recording?
Yeah, that's a longer answer than you probably were looking for. But basically, I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me to. And as a twofold answer to that, I was looking for a book to read that I couldn't find. So when I was in college, my professors were really good about talking to me about always incorporating my faith into my work and all of these references and things. And I started to pick up on all of these pottery references in the Bible. And I thought there's got to be a devotion book about that. And there wasn't a book that I couldn't find what I was looking for. And so at that point, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to start taking notes and to really start figuring out all of these pottery references and what do they mean. And I had never read the Bible all the way through. I was graduating college, having become a Christian. As a 7, 8-year-old girl, I had never read the Bible all the way through, which was very convicting for me. So that became my mission out of college. After graduation, I was reading through the Bible all of the way through with the purpose of finding those specific pottery verses. And I had a rough manuscript in 2019. I tried to get that published, and I was told there was a publisher willing, but it would need a complete like rewrite, overhaul. I'd need to pay an editor to pretty much rewrite the whole thing for me. And of course, that was going to be a lot of money for a brand new college graduate with not a lot of expendable income. So I prayed about it and I felt like the Lord was telling me to put it on hold. I needed more experience. And I thought that meant way down the line, years later, decades later, when I'm old and gray, sitting in a rocking chair, writing a memoir about everything I've ever learned in my whole life. And that really wasn't the case. It ended up being just a few short years. And in that span of time, I worked for a ceramics company. It was, well, it still exists. It's the largest ceramics supply distributor in the nation. And so I worked help desk for them. I also taught private ceramics lessons. I taught personal one-on-one type classes, and I did group lessons as well. And I also, in that time, moved to Asheville, worked for a potter as a studio assistant for about a year and a half. I'm just learning all of these things along the way that I don't even really realize I'm learning. And so then in January of 2023, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to revisit that manuscript that I had put aside. And so I pulled it out, saw how terrible it was, of course, and rewrote the whole thing in about 2.5 weeks. And again, I started reaching out to publishers, but this time, instead of going in with the mentality of whatever it was at the beginning, I want to be famous, I want to sell books, I want to make money, all this stuff, I went in completely a different approach. I was just constantly in communication with the Lord saying, if this is truly your will for me to write this book, then it's got to be your will for it to be published, because I tried to publish it first. I tried to do my own publishing, go my own way in 2019. It crashed and burned. And I know that I don't know anything about publishing. And so, if it's truly God's will for this to happen, then He has to be the one to make it happen, because I don't know what I'm doing. And so, I was just praying, Lord, whatever, if it's truly your will, and I believe it was for Him to call me to write this book and to rewrite that manuscript, then it's got to be in His hands. And that was the first time I really completely gave something to the Lord. I've always, going different churches and different calls to action and give this to the Lord, give that, give all your worries to the Lord. But just recognizing that I had zero control over this book because I didn't have any training and I didn't have any connections. And yes, my mom was a journalist, but no connections to the book publishing world. I was doing this completely alone and completely with God through this whole process. So at that point, I just gave the whole thing to God. And I said, if it's going to happen, it's going to be because of you. And the only way it will happen is because of you. And He allowed one publisher to reach out to me. It was Morgan James Publishing. And the person I talked to, Terry, he said, this is a great idea, but it's too short. And you need to make it about a third longer in word count. And I loved that feedback because it wasn't a no, and it gave me something tangible that I could do to actually make progress. And so I took that information, I rewrote or added, I should say, added words. I basically doubled the word count in about a week and a half, and I sent it back to him all excited and sent in my application. And then several weeks later, I got that acceptance letter, and I was just so overwhelmed. I knew it was from God, and it's just been the most wild ride that He's taken me on ever since.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. It's actually funny because as you're going through your wonderful story, now you decide to really just leave it in God's hands. I'm sure you probably heard of that song, I Surrender All, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh, the hymn?
Yeah, the hymn, I Surrender
Oh,
All.
yeah.
It's like I thought of the parody. I thought of the parody version, I Surrender Some.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what a lot of us do, especially, I mean, I really can only speak for myself, of course, but I know I would think that I was surrendering all and I wasn't. I didn't really realize that until I came to that moment of completely having no other option but to surrender it all. And then that's when it finally clicked. That's when I finally understood this is what it means to actually surrender it all to God. And so now my goal is to work on that type of surrender in all aspects of my life.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about today. In what ways in particular?
Oh man, everything. I'm a planner. And COVID was really hard during the pandemic. I had all these plans ready to go. The pandemic shut it down. So that kind of worked on that type of my personality. But still, everything seems to be virtually back to normal for the most part. And so once again, I'm struggling with planning everything. And while in a sense it's good, like we talked about earlier, I plan to be on the show, and I wanted to get a jump start and plan as early as possible, get communications going and all of that kind of stuff. But also, I need to be better at remembering that My life is God's timing, and my timing is not usually God's timing. And that's hard to completely surrender my schedule to God. To ask Him in every little thing that I put on my planner, every little whatever it is, should I do this day or that day or whatever? And I know there are people who say, well, as long as you're doing it, or God doesn't focus on the details, but I believe that He does. And I believe that different things can impact our lives in ways we never expected, just like how taking one random week-long summer camp completely transformed my life. And I discovered my love of ceramics. I really think that God has a hand in every single detail of our lives.
That's right indeed. Best hand to have in your life. That's right indeed. Some folks ask what the five fingers say to the face. Like, don't worry about that. Well, the five fingers say to life. And that's a good one too. That's right indeed. Full of wonderful setbacks that don't feel wonderful in the moment at all. So are you extroverted too?
No, honestly, I'm not. I'm more introverted. And after my scoliosis surgery, I became very introverted for about 10 years to the point that I didn't even talk about my surgery. Like those who knew, knew my friends and family. But I just didn't tell people. I didn't really talk about it at all. And from my standpoint, I was quiet and not wanting to share because it was some tragedy that happened in my life. And I didn't want to remember that. And looking back on that now, 12 plus years later, after that decade of silence, so to speak, I realized that this is God's story that He specifically gave to me. And I began to realize how honored I am that He gave me that story. And I had been doing an absolutely terrible job of revealing His grace and power and might in my life by just not sharing my testimony. I just didn't talk about it to anyone, and I didn't really talk all that much. So now I truly believe that I'm coming into the person that God wanted me to be. I'm becoming more extroverted, or at least less introverted, and I am sharing my story. And the more I share it, the more I want to share it, and the more I believe that I can help someone with this story, whether they're going through scoliosis surgery or not, or anything similar or nothing similar. I can at least share the amazing things that God has done in my life and all of the grace that He has given me throughout my life. And I'm just so honored that He allowed me to go through that process so I'm able to just completely point everything back to Him. Because it's such a crazy story, my life. Everything that happened from scoliosis to pottery is completely because of Him, and it can only be because of Him. And I think it's just so evident in my life that I'm hoping by sharing my testimony that others are able to see God's grace and the beautiful, amazing story that He has written in their lives as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right indeed. Straightening backs and shaping clay. You love to see it. That's right indeed. That's all I'm talking about indeed. It's a great feeling indeed. Yeah, because hey, probably would have pegged you for extroverted because you got all this wonderful energy indeed. But then again, it's something you're passionate about. So I guess it's a given.
Well, I think a lot of us introverts want to feel safe and respected in the space, and you do a great job about that on your podcast. I know I'm feeling heard, and I know you're here to listen. And I think that is very empowering for introverts, and I think not everybody realizes that. So thank you for allowing people like me to share my story on your show.
Oh, my pleasure, dude. Appreciate it, indeed. Yep. Another reason why I make video optional. One, for bandwidth, and two, sometimes writers can be extra shy. Like, oh God, no. No, not the camera. No, it's gonna look at me.
Yeah, it's a whole new level. You've got to think about your facial expressions. And if you're looking at the little blinking dot that is the camera instead of actually looking at the screen where the face is, you know how Zoom goes.
Yeah, that part's never fun. It's like, I think I learned that lesson. I follow the advice from that guy who does great inspiration material of putting an arrow on your computer next to a thing, but it's like, no, I look great, or the guest looks freaking amazing, and I just like seeing their excitement. It's like, oh, they're passionate, like they really know their stuff. It's like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to look at the camera. Oh, look at the camera.
Yeah, that's true. You also see yourself on Zoom, and that's hard to focus when you're watching yourself and you're like, oh, you need to, I don't know, go more to the center of the frame or stop moving around so much. Or I talk with my hands a lot, so tone it down a little bit. Don't wave your arms so much. Whatever it is.
Don't worry, that just means the internet knows you're friendly. She's saying hi a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I pottery is all about, working with your hands. So I feel like it now just comes out in everything. I just express myself through hands, and I don't know.
Don't worry, you don't have to know. You still have a good handle on things. So, since you're going on a podcast tour talking about the good pots and the good, wonderful artwork, especially the whites and the blues and the wildflowers, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're doing these interviews?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say probably not a lot of people ask me about my pottery or my ceramic work, kind of like the thought behind what I do, which probably means that not a lot of people outside of the ceramic world really think about artists having a concept behind their work, but they do. And so to answer that question, what is the concept behind your pottery? I would say my work is porcelain. It's all that white, creamy, beautiful porcelain. I actually get it from Kentucky. And I have four different wildflower designs that I have hand-drawn, and I got those copyrighted, which is a whole battle if you've ever tried to get something copyrighted.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Oh yeah, so you know. Yes. So I've got those four wildflower designs copyrighted, and I turn them into silk screens. So I screen print my flowers onto newsprint and I apply them onto my cups as a transfer, simple, basically how you would do a temporary tattoo. You take the paper, you wet the back, you transfer that design from the paper to the pot. That's exactly what I'm doing, like how you would transfer the temporary tattoo to your skin. So basically, that's my technique. I also slip cast, like I mentioned before, I use a lot of plaster molds in my work. And that allows me to get different shapes that I can't get on the wheel. I use a lot of hexagons in my work, and that's basically my symbol of connecting my scoliosis experience and kind of connecting that to Victorian corsetry, because it's both the idea of trying to control the organic form. And so a hexagon is similar to a circle, but it's got these rigid lines and angles. So you're conforming that shape in very rigid ways. And so similarly, I felt like that with my back bracing and of course with my surgery with my rods and screws, conforming the body to fit a specific design or mold, similar like the pottery, and similar to Victorian fashions, of course, kind of conforming the body to fit a designed shape. And so all of these ideas are kind of tying in together to kind of produce that aesthetic of that old blue and white china that you're used to seeing, like in your grandmother's home or somewhere like that. But the wildflower designs I use, I have four different patterns, like I mentioned, and they're all wildflowers that I've grown up with in the Carolinas. And they're all symbols of feminine strength. And so my idea behind those is that I am incorporating wildflowers because those flowers really grow for nobody but God. God is really the only one who knows that they're there unless you pass them on the road and you see them growing. But no one has planted those flowers, no one cultivates them, no one pulls the weeds from around them or makes sure they get water. They are completely growing because God is sustaining them. And I just think that's a beautiful symbol for our lives that God is sustaining us through this whole process. And like my life having this back surgery, a lot of people look at me and think I am physically very delicate or fragile. And in some ways, I am. I can't bend or twist my spine, and I never will be able to. But in other ways, there's a hidden strength, just like the flowers have hidden strengths. So I've incorporated dogwoods, violets, wisteria, and thistle. And some of these flowers have some crazy hidden strengths. Like wisteria flowers are the ones that have these beautiful vines that grow on top of all of the other plants and just completely take over. And thistles have these thorns that are such a great defense mechanism. And so these flowers, while they seem so delicate, they have that hidden strength and beauty to them as well. So I'm just asking the reader or the viewer to really think about how they're viewing these pots and how they're viewing the idea of what is delicate and what is strength. Similarly, porcelain looks very delicate. And in some ways, it is very delicate, but it's also very strong. Porcelain is used in a lot of like body bone type replacements. So, like hip replacements, porcelain is used in a lot of tooth enamel type repairs. It's also used on spaceships. And you're probably most familiar with using it as your sinks and toilets. So, while it seems like this very delicate China type porcelain, it's also very strong. I mean, you do sit on a toilet every day, you know? So there is some strength and hidden strength in there. And I think that's just so powerful, you know? Everyday items can be beautiful. It's the same clay, you know, whether it's a toilet or a cup, it's the same clay.
So you're saying let that sink in, huh?
Yep.
That's all talked about in valid point right there, indeed. Valid point right there, indeed. Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff out there that's just interesting to know to feed those curious minds out there. Because, yeah, when it comes to pottery and China and fine China, it's like, oh, yeah, this is freaking beautiful. Like, yeah, but it's like, oh, there's a process behind it. And it's like, hey, it probably takes a lot of work and delicate patience, indeed. And the thing is, if I'm not mistaken, you teach ceramics now, too, right?
I do. I teach private lessons, and then I'm also starting to offer, I'm doing some volunteer lessons with my church, actually, with the youth program. So I'm really, really excited about that. It's middle school and high school students can sign up to throw on the pottery wheel. And so my hope is some of these students who might be homeschooled or not have access to a pottery wheel, similar to how my high school didn't have a pottery wheel, I'm hoping to give them that access and really open up the world of art to them, like it was opened up to me, in hopes that they'll find a passion and a joy that they can carry on throughout their lives. And it's amazing to me that God is giving me this opportunity right now as it's happening, and that these students are basically the same age I was when I discovered pottery and had my scoliosis experience and all that stuff. So it's really coming full circle.
Woohoo! That's what I'm talking about. Full circle indeed. So, have you gotten your porcelain apple on your desk yet?
Not yet.
That right, folks. If you're going to go to Morgan McCarver's class, you got to make a porcelain apple and leave it on the desk. So, she's the teach. You got to leave it on the professor's desk. That's right, indeed. For no reason. Bonus points if you make the worm come out the apple.
That would be pretty crazy.
Don't worry, it shouldn't worm into you much. It'll be frozen. It won't be alive. Unless a ghost possesses it, then it'll be alive,
Yeah.
That's right. It might even be the ghost of 1986. That's right.
Oh no. How did I know that was going to come up in this podcast?
Oh, you never know. Well, speaking of random things just popping up out of the blue, your fabulous, fabulous book, God the Artist, Revealing God's Creative Side Through Pottery. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
That is such a crazy question. And I love listening to your podcast because I love listening to the other guests answer. And now it's my turn. And
Yeah.
oh man. That is such a good question. I would say, can I say it's a muffin?
You'd be the first.
Would I really to say my book is a muffin? I would say it's a muffin, and I'll tell you why. Basically, I would say it is not a super thick, lengthy book, so it's kind of like a little snack, like muffins are. You could read it in a day, or you can really savor it and read a chapter a day or a chapter a week if you wanted to. And so I would say that's kind of how it is. It's dainty, like muffins can be dainty. And I would say it is, I mean, it's obviously very creative. It's encouraging you to embrace your own creativity as well. And it goes into the artistry of God. And so in that way, I would say it's a very special gourmet muffin. Because it's really incorporating all of these amazing techniques and tricks. And I do all of the photography as well as the designs in the book. You'll see my flower designs in there as well. So it's gourmet that it has all of these little special ingredients that make it exactly unique and exactly what it is. So I'm going with muffin. That's my final answer.
That's right indeed. Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man, the Muffin Man. In this case, do you know the Muffin Morgan? That's right indeed. We
That's
got the
true.
muffin.
Another alliteration with my name, Eminem, Muffin Morgan. Can't
Yeah,
lose.
Muffin Morgan. Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. And she's got M&M's in the
Yep.
muffin.
Maybe. Yeah, it can be a chocolate muffin. I'm fine with that.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. And besides, that's actually the next level four. We call it back to the pottery fashion show with actual folks coming out of the pot. They're going to come out of a muffin dressed pot.
Maybe we'll just serve muffins there.
Okay. All right. So not going full drug trip. Okay. All right.
We'll tame it down just a smidge.
Okay, so get them with the muffin the second time they come back for the fashion show. Got you.
There you
All
go.
right. Ease them into it. Yeah. It's a fashion show. Oh, sorry. It's really a bake-off where every table has a porcelain apple.
Yeah, that won't be confusing at all.
It's like, why are these porcelain apples here? You're now teachers now. Pull out your dry erase boards. If you got the budget, make it a magic board. I'm oh, just messing. Again, oh, my kid always, I'm always messing with people. Anyways, it comes down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're gonna wake up tomorrow and you are 18 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
I would say, I don't know. I would say that's a hard one because the things I've done have brought me to where I am. You know what I mean? Like all of the mistakes or whatever has happened or being quiet about my experience for 10 years, do I wish I had overcome that quicker and talked about it sooner? Yes, but that's not what happened, and the Lord knew, and that's his timing. So that's a hard one. I think I would say, though, just to be less impatient, to just have more patience, just calm down a smidge. Don't rush things so quickly. Like the Lord told me I was going to write a book, and I thought, yes, that's immediately right now in 2019. And it wasn't. And to realize that God knew the timing, everything's perfect. So if I went back to my 18-year-old self, I'd say, you know, just it's okay. We've got more time than we think we have. Calm down.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. You gotta make this muffin pottery fashion show happen. You gotta give it time.
Yep. Yeah, that one's gonna need some time.
Right, y'all. So hear it from the good doctor herself, Dr. Morgan McCarver, y'all. Get those patients. Or should I say, be more patient? Right. It's a virtue because God's timing is real. Sorry, indeed, it is real. That thing is a whole leather jacket. Indeed, be like, can I get this thing now? And God be like, no. You humans and your microwaves, no. We are going to slow cook this in an oven, buddy. Come on. It'll be better if it happens now. Like, no. You gotta wait for this. You gotta wait for the whole Thanksgiving dinner. You can't just do a random 30-minute lunch break, snacky wacky at your desk. No. You gotta have the whole experience. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. And speaking of the whole experience, folks need to cop some copies of your magical book and keep up with your journey because you're only getting started and you're far from done. So for those who need to cop some copies of your magical book and keep up with your journey, what's the best way for folks to do so, Morgan?
Probably just to start at my website, honestly. It's morganmccarver.com, and that's just my name. But from there, you can go purchase Got the Artist, the book. You can shop my pottery. You can find me on social media and send me an email if you want. You can sign up for my newsletter. And I do have some freebies on my website as well. They are beautifully crafted digital quotes, book quotes that you can use all over for, you know, backgrounds, wherever you like to use some digital elegance in your life. So all of that good stuff is on my website. And from there, you can find me all other ways. But yeah, I am looking forward to you guys reaching out.
Woohoo! We heard that right, folks. Put some giant rubber bands on your arms and reach out. That's right, indeed. Stretch out. That's right, indeed. Cop some copies of Morgan's books. Keep up with the journey. Get some of that digital elegance in your life. That's right, indeed. Heck, even head over to Etsy. Get some real physical elegance in your life, too, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Who knows? Might even need it for your next tea event. Might need some pottery. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Heck, maybe you have to balance one of her wares on your head. That's right, indeed. So let folks know that you are ahead indeed in elegance. sure you get brownie points if you actually do that. And shout out to Morgan for brownie points. and for digital content. It's like my pottery's so darn good it'll bounce on your head. but as per usual, I'm getting ahead of myself. So before another rabbit hole appears, any parting words before we close up shop, Morgan?
I would just encourage everyone listening to just embrace your own creativity. We're all creative because God made us all creative. He made us in his image, and he is a creative God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so I truly believe that he made all of us with a special creative talent inside of each of us, and it's all different. So I just encourage everyone to embrace that and to discover what God gave you and to use it for his glory.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.